For the second time in 6 weeks, a Kalita Air 747 is down. NATCA says two airliners came within 100 feet of each other Saturday night. And one congressman says if the Air Force doesn't rebid KCX, all hell will break loose on Capitol Hill. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, July 8, 2008. A Boeing 747-200 freighter operated by Michigan-based Kalita Air crashed shortly after takeoff from El Dorado International Airport in Bogota, Colombia before dawn Monday morning. Local media reports the plane was carrying a load of flowers bound for Miami. The plane's flight crew reported an engine fire shortly after takeoff. Contact was lost soon after that. The Associated Press reports the plane came down on a ranch home about 15 miles northwest of the city, killing two people inside. All eight of the flight crew survived, although one is said to be in serious condition. As ANN reported, another Kalita Air 747-200 skidded off the end of a runway in Brussels, Belgium on May 25th, following an aborted takeoff. The aircraft hit a berm and broke apart. All five crew members survived. In the latest accident, the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board is sending its own team to the scene at the request of the Colombian government. The FAA, Boeing, and Pratt & Whitney will also send investigators. We'll have more details when available at aero-news.net. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association, the union representing FAA controllers, reports what it calls an ugly close call at JFK Airport Saturday night. In its statement, the union says, quote, at approximately 8:30 p.m. EDT, LAN Chile Flight 533 was taking off from runway 13 right. At the same time, Cayman Airways Flight 792, a Boeing 737, was executing a missed approach on 22 left, which runs perpendicular off the end of 13 right. When a JFK Tower air traffic controller saw that Cayman 792 was executing the missed approach, he gave instructions for the jet to make a left turn to avoid the departing LAN Chile 533, which was told to turn right over the water. But it was too late. The paths of both jets crossed, unquote. NATCA says controllers at the New York TRACON saw the radar targets of the jets merged on top of each other and estimated their closest proximity at 100 feet. The FAA Monday declined to confirm or comment on the incident to Business Week. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is expected to announce soon how he'll deal with the controversy in which the U.S. Air Force chose Northrop Grumman and Eads to supply the service's new aerial tanker, followed by a challenge of the award by Boeing. The Government Accountability Office last month issued a non-binding report stating the Air Force made significant errors in evaluating the two proposals, including faulty math in determining the Airbus-based KC-45A would be more economical to operate than Boeing's smaller KC-767. The GAO also determined the Air Force may have unfairly aided Northrop in optimizing its proposal while denying Boeing similar help. U.S. Congressman Norm Dix represents Washington State, where Boeing has a major manufacturing presence, and he's a senior member of the House Defense Appropriations Committee. He warns of dire consequences should Air Force officials ignore the GAO's recommendations and stay with Northrop's KC-45A. Quote, I have urged them to come up and talk to the Hill, because if they make a unilateral decision that's wrong, all hell is going to break loose, unquote. Dix added, it's likely the Pentagon will reopen the KCX bid for competition. The largest U.S. airline's rate of on-time flights this past May was higher than in both the same month last year and in April of this year. The Air Travel Consumer Report from the U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Transportation Statistics also says rates of flight cancellations and mishandled baggage declined. The 19 carriers reporting achieved an overall on-time arrival rate of 79.0% in May. That's higher than a year earlier at 77.9% and higher than in April of this year at 77.7%. Airlines canceled 1.0% of their scheduled domestic flights. That's down from 1.1% in May 2007 and 1.7% in April of this year. Hawaiian Airlines and regional carrier Pinnacle Airlines led in on-time arrivals, while American, United, and Continental were at the bottom of the list. Southwest Airlines, which normally scores near the top, took the dubious honor of operating the single most delayed route in the latest report. Flight 2709 from Houston to San Diego was late 100% of the time for the month of May. You can find more detail in the text version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Coming up next, Bell Helicopter puts its civilian tilt rotor at arm's length. Eads says it is officially negotiating to sell a majority interest in Cicada. And why did the nose of a 757 collapse with a bang during a flight? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're going to fly in the suit, you got to have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 8th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. After 50 years of developing tilt rotor technology for both the defense and civilian markets, Bell Helicopter now says it has doubts the cost-benefit proposition will pencil out for civilian users. According to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Bell has shifted a larger part of development work on the BA-609 tilt rotor to Italian partner Augusta Westland. Bell Executive VP Mike Blake says, quote, "I think Bell will always be involved in the 609 program in some way. How is to be determined," unquote. Full-size mock-ups of the BA-609 have been fixtures at industry trade shows for several years, but actual progress on the program has been slow since its announcement in 1998. There are 80 orders on the books, but those came at unspecified prices. The BA-609 was intended to carry 6 to 9 passengers and cost $10 million, but with more up-to-date estimates placing the cost now at up to twice that amount, the paper reports CEO Dick Millman has told Bell Engineers the 609, quote, "ends up costing so much there will not be much of a market for it, in my opinion," unquote. Bell and Augusta Westland now say FAA certification will occur in 2012. That's about a year later than previously reported and 5 years past its original 2007 target date. Confirming earlier predictions, Eads issued a statement Monday announcing formal, exclusive talks with French manufacturing group Daher for the acquisition of a majority interest in Cicada. Quote, "Bringing together Daher and Eads Cicada would allow the creation of a major actor in the area of aerostructures and business aviation and develop joint projects in these two areas," unquote. Daher has interests in the aerospace, nuclear, and automotive industries, and recently partnered with Eads Cicada to bid for work on the upcoming Airbus A350 XWB. Eads plans to sell Cicada, its general aviation subsidiary, as part of its Power 8 restructuring program, following massive losses brought on by delays in development of the A380 and A350, and made worse by the fall of the U.S. dollar. Eads Cicada manufactures the TB20 Trinidad and the highly successful TBM-850 turboprop. The FAA is looking into what, if anything, struck the nose of a Northwest Airlines plane at flight level 180 Sunday between Detroit and Tampa. The Tampa Tribune reports the crew of the Boeing 757 reported a bang descending through 18,000 feet, then discovered the plane's weather radar was inoperative. The plane landed without incident at Tampa just after 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Photos show a symmetrical indentation at the top of the aircraft's nose, but there's no sign of blood or feathers to suggest a bird strike. The pattern of the dent is too uniform for a lightning strike. Another possibility is some kind of structural failure in the radome assembly. The plane was repaired in Tampa and returned to service on Monday. A spokesman for Northwest called the incident, quote, "a minor maintenance issue, a rare occurrence," unquote. A chartered Midwest Airlines MD-80 transporting U.S. Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama made an unscheduled stop in St. Louis Monday after the plane's flight crew experienced controllability issues in pitch. ABC News reports the plane encountered thunderstorms shortly after takeoff from Chicago. The pitch control issues became evident after an encounter with turbulence. Midwest Airlines spokesman Michael Brophy told the New York Times an emergency slide carried in the MD-82's aft tail cone exit began to deploy in flight, putting pressure on control cables leading to the aircraft's horizontal stabilizer. Quote, as the pilot explained it to us, there was some stiffness in the controls. There was never a loss of control or anything like that, unquote. Obama, who was heading to an event in Charlotte with his campaign team and the press corps, admitted to some apprehension. Quote, anytime a pilot says that something's not working the way it's supposed to, then, you know, you make sure you tighten your seatbelt. Everything seemed under control. The pilots knew what they were doing, unquote. Obama was using the MD-80 while his Boeing 757 is in the shop for maintenance. Those darn loners. Still ahead, the Avro Vulcan bomber returns to the skies after a 15-year retirement. The Liberty Bell crosses the Atlantic to tour England. And aviation fuel prices are a hot topic, especially in Wichita. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, July 8th. I'm Paul Platt. After a 15-year absence, the roar of four Bristol Olympus 301 turbojets resounded over the English countryside Saturday as the last flying Avro Vulcan bomber returned to the skies for public display for the first time since 1993. As reported by the BBC, the distinctive Delta-wing Cold War-era bomber flew a five-minute display at the International Air Show at RAF Waddington in Lincolnshire. That's the bomber's original base of operations. About 125,000 people were treated to the display after the Civil Aviation Authority gave permission for the plane to fly from its base in Bruntingthorpe in Leicestershire on Friday. The Vulcan was restored over a 15-year period in Bruntingthorpe by the Vulcan to the Sky Trust, at a cost of over £7 million, or $14 million. Another £2.7 million came through the Heritage Lottery Fund from over 20,000 individual donors. The Vulcan was designed in 1948, could travel at up to 645 miles per hour, and was capable of carrying nuclear weapons. A total of 134 of the planes were built. The plane's last military missions came during the Falklands conflict in 1982. Thanks to the hard work and dedication of a team of volunteers from the Liberty Foundation of Douglas, Georgia, the extraordinary feat of flying a World War II vintage Boeing B-17G Flying Fortress from the United States to England took place last week without incident. The B-17 Liberty Bell touched down in the UK on Thursday at Prestwick Airport in Scotland on the final leg of its transatlantic crossing that started June 30th. The journey followed a route similar to that taken by wartime crews with stops in Labrador, Greenland, and Iceland on the way to the UK. Owner Don Brooks spent millions of dollars on the restoration of the plane, which took nearly 20 years. Brooks has a personal attachment. His father flew 30 missions aboard B-17s during World War II with the 390th Bomb Group. The Liberty Bell now bears the insignia and markings of the 390th. The arrival on English soil also commemorates the 65th anniversary of the first 390th Bomb Group B-17 arriving for duty in England. The B-17's tour in England will continue until July 25th, including appearances at the Duxford Flying Legends Air Show with the sole UK-based flying fortress Sally B and the only B-17 flying in mainland Europe, Pink Lady from France. Liberty Bell will continue to fly to other airfields around England to commemorate the brave airmen based there during World War II, then return to the United States. Rising fuel prices are a hot topic at pilot lounges all over the U.S. But in Wichita, Kansas, home to several major aircraft plants, the discussions have deeper meaning. In a recent article in the Wichita Eagle, business owners and operators in the GA community spoke out about how the rising costs have affected their businesses and flying habits. Paul Wyatt, editor of Aircraft Blue Book Price Digest, says the recreational side of flying is really taking a hit, as recreational pilots have slowed or stopped buying planes. Quote, "There's definitely a lull in the smaller market of piston aircraft," unquote. A recent Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association survey of owners and renters showed fuel prices have had a dramatic effect on flying. 72% of respondents have curtailed flying, 40% have cut back 50% or more. On the positive side, increasing use of aircraft for business is offsetting some of the decline in recreational flight. Cosby Stone of Trade-A-Plane noted, quote, "The more serious the usage of their aircraft is, the less likely it is to impact their decision to use it," unquote. Cessna dealer Steve Dunn agreed, quote, "No one buying a new $400,000 single-engine piston aircraft is complaining that fuel costs $5 a gallon," unquote. He adds, however, that older single-engine planes are, quote, "starting to stack up on the used market," unquote. For manufacturers with substantial overseas customer bases, export sales are also offsetting the decline in the U.S. Hawker Beechcraft's Andrew Broom says more than 60% of that company's orders are now from outside the U.S. The sales of Avgas and Jet A confirm the trends. In Wichita, Yingling Aviation reports its jet fuel business is steady or growing slightly, but that Avgas sales dropped 30% in June, admittedly partly due to rainy weather. But National Air Transportation Association spokesman David Almy says national sales averages of Avgas are down anywhere from 10 to 50%. And finally, one guy who has not let rising Avgas prices keep him grounded is Ron Schreck. The 62-year-old retired airline captain and now part-time contract pilot spent July 4th last year visiting all 109 public-use airports in his home state of North Carolina. Flying his Vans RV8 home-built with its Lycoming O360 and constant speed prop, he made the entire circuit in under 20 hours, thanks in large measure to his plane speed and capabilities and a computer routing calculated by William Cook, a professor of mathematics at Georgia Tech. So how did Ron celebrate the 4th this year? By flying his RV8 to all 68 public-use airports in the neighboring state of South Carolina. With fewer airports, Ron says he didn't even have to do any night flying, completing the computer-optimized route of 1,052 miles in just under 11 hours. In fact, he made it home in time for the Independence Day cookout at his home on the Gold Hill Residential Air Park, where hangar talk with buddies is what started the idea that led to last year's flight. Ron, by the way, will be my guest next week for the July 15th edition of the Aero News special feature, and we'll talk in detail about his flights. So what's next? Ron jokes, quote, "only 48 states to go," unquote. He says he'll probably try Virginia next, although he admits making quick stops at the airports covered by the Washington, D.C. ADIS will be a unique challenge. Ron says one of his goals is to make small communities aware of the value of their small airports. In a time when many cash-strapped municipalities see a chance for a quick buck selling off the land to developers. Quote, "If news of my flight can make just one city or county official vote to keep their local airport, then I guess the effort is worth it," unquote. As for actually replicating the feat in all 50 states, Ron isn't making any solid promises. Quote, "Texas alone has 392 public-use airports. I'm tempted to leave that to someone who's younger and more ambitious than me," unquote. Then again, if he knows how many public-use airports there are in Texas, you know he has to have at least thought about it. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk about a new commercial airport being built with private funds in Branson, Missouri, with Robert Poole of the Reason Foundation. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.